friends. This writer, the last of the deceased writers we will induct this evening, is none other than Hunter S. Thompson. We contacted Mr. Thompson's son, Juan, who lives in Colorado, and although he could not attend tonight, he did say that his dad would have thought this was cool. Reading from Thompson's work tonight is Ron Whitehead. Ron is a poet, writer, editor, publisher, organizer, scholar, and professor. He grew up on a farm in Kentucky and attended the University of Louisville and Oxford University. His poetry has been published widely and has received the All Kentucky Poetry Prize, among other awards. Ron lives in Louisville and was a friend of Hunter S. Thompson. He co-produced the Hunter S. Thompson Tribute in Louisville in December 1996, which brought Hunter, Johnny Depp, Warren Zevon, and others to the state. Ron also is producing an annual Gonzo Fest in Louisville. This year's will take place on April 11th. Please help me welcome Ron Whitehead.
Life is a dream, as some suggest, sometimes beautiful, sometimes desperate. Then Hunter S. Thompson's work is a terrible saga of the ending of time for the American dream. With its action set at the heart of darkness of American materialist culture, with war as perpetual background playing on the television, Hunter S. Thompson, like the prophets of old, shows how we, through greed and power lust, have already gone over the edge. As Jack Kerouac, through his brilliant oeuvre, breathed hope into international youth culture, Thompson shows how the ruling power elite is not about to share what it controls with idealists yearning for a world of peace, love, and understanding. Back at the motel, we talked for a while about America, the South, England, just relaxing a bit before dinner. There was no way either of us could have known at the time that it would be the last normal conversation we would have. From that point on, the weekend became a vicious, drunken nightmare. We both went completely to pieces. The main problem was my prior attachment to Louisville, which naturally led to meeting with old friends, relatives, many of whom were in the process of falling apart, going mad. Plotting divorces, cracking up under the strain of terrible debts, or recovering from bad accidents. Right in the middle of the whole frenzy derby action, a member of my own family had to be institutionalized. This added a certain strain to the situation, and since poor Stedman had no choice but to take whatever came his way, he was subjected to shock after shock. On February the 20th, it will be 10 years since Hunter died. Right after his death, I wrote Hunter Shaman Thompson is Dead, a tribute. When I was invited to be Hunter's presenter here tonight, I asked Ralph Stedman if he'd like for me to share any words. Here's Ralph's reply. Hunter was always so perceptive and kind. He referred to my drawings as filthy scribblings, and also that I should not write, or I would bring shame on my family. His middle name is Stockton. He was wiser than any shaman, so I wouldn't hang that around his neck. That would really bring shame. Enough already. Okay, Ralph. Ralph and I emailed back and forth. We must look beyond the life of the artist to the body of work itself. That is the measure of success. Like those who have re-examined George Orwell's 1984 to find a multi-layered literary masterpiece, we must look deep into Hunter S. Thompson's work and discover the multi-layered messages. His books, especially the early ones, and his letters are literary masterpieces equal to the best writing ever produced. When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride!"